been going through a series that we started when I first got here, and it's on finding our bearings. And I don't know if it's my bearings or your bearings or whose bearings, but we're getting there. We're starting to get to know each other a little bit and finding out what's really important. The first week we talked about radical obedience, being obedient to what God is calling us to do and us to be. And so many times we run into this thing where we struggle with that and we're not sure. And so we want to be people who are obedient and are willing to do those things that God calls us to. The next week we talked about being in Christ or in Jesus, making Him the center of our lives, not just something that we talk about or deal with on Sunday mornings, but it's something that is every day. That's who we are. Last week we talked about church and especially being an emotionally healthy church and being there for each other, supportive, listening, and helping each other go through life in an emotionally healthy way. And today we're going to talk about prayer. Now, it's interesting. There's two model prayers that we read in Scripture. We call the Lord's Prayer, one in Matthew chapter 6. That's probably the one that most of you are familiar with. The other one's in Luke 11, and that's the one we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bibles, you can get it ready by turning to Luke chapter 11. I find prayer rather difficult. That's kind of weird for a pastor to say. But I always have great intentions and I kind of do all kinds of things. I try different things. I'm going to give you something to try today as well. I've had prayer diaries, notebooks that I fill in, all those kinds of things, and I still find it hard. And so often on the ends of emails, I'll put pray hard as a salutation there because I want to be a person, and I want to encourage you to be a person who prays hard, but also recognize that it's hard, and we want to keep going. It's something that we want to work through. I grew up in a home that my dad was a pastor and a missionary, so I'm a PK, yeah, one of those, and an MK, and we prayed a lot. And it was interesting when we sat down for meals, we would have a prayer for the meal, and us kids would want to get in, and you know, because they'd say, "Who wants to pray?" And we'd try and get in quick because if you were kind of slow and mom started praying, you're in trouble. I have no sisters in my family. I have three brothers, and we get hungry. And when mom starts praying, she starts praying for Afghanistan. And we knew the ABCs, and we knew Zimbabwe was a long ways down the list. And so when mom started praying, got to Afghanistan, we go, uh-oh, we're not eating for a while. So we learned to do that real quick, and it almost became a joke, and we kind of had to hurry up. But let's look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.'" I just want to note, hospitality is a huge thing in Jewish culture, and so this is why this is in there like this. If you come knocking at my door at midnight looking for bread, take a hike, man. I've been in bed for 4 hours by then, probably. Not quite, but. "And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much bread as you need. So I say to you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What I find amazing about the Lord's Prayer, well, there's several things. And the first one is how simple and short it is. I've timed it several times, and this is the prayer in Luke 11. Whoops, go one more there, Kenny. There we go. This is the one in Luke 11, and so you can see where it says Father. That's where it starts. Taking my time, just a normal routine, 16 seconds. And just think about that for a second. Jesus is teaching disciples how to pray. This really important task, a foundational thing, and he spends 16 seconds. If you ask any preacher in the world to teach you about prayer, something tells me it's going to take longer than 16 seconds. I know some of you might like it if every Sunday I just said we're going to talk about something and I spent 16 seconds and went and sat down. But I want you to say it with me. And let's start with the Father. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. That's all. 16 seconds. I want to also point out something else. The disciples were people who grew up in a culture, in a society, where they would have known how to pray. They've all would have prayed their entire lives. When we were in Africa, you'd go out at night, and we lived in an area that was a lot of Muslim people. And they would have a campfire, a little bonfire going, and all the kids would be there, and they'd be around the fire, and they'd be teaching them prayers and scripture, and they'd be reciting them. And it would have been very similar in the Jewish community. That's where the Muslims got it. And the Jewish kids would learn a lot of prayer, and they would learn a lot of scripture. And so this is something that the disciples would have known. And yet, this is the one thing that they say, Jesus teach us how to pray. Now, if you notice in the whole passage that I read, that it says that they wanted to be taught like John taught his disciples. And this is also known as something that would happen quite often, that disciples would teach them something special, some special way to pray. They all had their own prayers. And so they would do that. And so the disciples, I guess, were asking about that. But I think there's more than that going on here. I think that what is going on is they're making a connection between, excuse me, they're making a connection between what Jesus does and his prayer. So they're following Jesus. They're Jesus' disciples, and here they go. They're going around, and they're seeing Jesus, and he's healing somebody in a miraculous way, just a miraculous, doing a miracle. And somebody who can't walk can suddenly walk. And they also know, they see Jesus going and praying. And then they go along with Jesus a little bit more, and they see Jesus, and he's feeding 5,000 people with some few loaves of bread and some fish. And then they see that he also goes and prays. And then they see Jesus, he's going and he's teaching, and a whole lot of people are just amazed at his teaching. And they keep coming, and they a huge crowd gathers because he's a fantastic, the way he's teaching. In fact, they're just amazed at his teaching. They even just say that. Even his enemies say, where did he get this? And then they see him pray. And I think after a while, after seeing Jesus going and doing these incredible things and praying, they start, hey, something's going on here. Prayer is foundational. It makes a difference. And, you know, sometimes people, even today, kind of wonder. They say, what is the deal? Is it just something that we go through that makes us feel better? Is that all there is to it? I don't think so. I don't think we would be called to pray if it didn't make a difference, that if it didn't matter. And so the disciples see this and they say, Jesus, teach us how this works. Teach us how to pray. And in that sense, I'm kind of glad that he gives a 16-second answer. And I think we've got to be careful that we don't make prayer this huge, complicated, hard-to-understand thing that we often make it. I often ask, or I think when I see this, I ask myself, what would I ask Jesus to teach me? I'm guessing maybe it should be prayer. But I have a feeling I probably would have gone, how do you speak to people and, they all follow you? Something like that. But they ask for prayer. Well, I also want to talk about what is prayer. Again, growing up in a church as a PK, I have a lot of experience with prayers in a church. We had prayer meeting. Prayer meeting was an hour-long session that actually had very little prayer in it. We would gather together, and usually there's somebody who does a devotional, reads scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. As some say, don't hear what I'm not saying. And we would discuss that passage of scripture, and that might go on for a half hour. And then we would start taking prayer requests. And somebody would say, oh yeah, pray for so-and-so. And then, so that we can pray effectively, we'd have to learn about that a little bit. And sometimes that would border on gossip, but, it's in the name of praying effectively, so it would pass. They'd let it through. And we would talk about all these prayer requests. We'd write them down. Sometimes they'd have a list and they'd have it there where you could fill in the blanks, with all the needs and everything. And we'd have this grocery list, if it were. And then we'd have about 5 minutes left. We've been at this prayer meeting now for 55 minutes. And might have done a little prayer in the beginning, but we really haven't done much praying. And we realize time's running short, and so we just kind of crush it all into the last 5 minutes and get it done and go home. But I don't think a grocery list is what God had in mind. There's a man named Daniel Henderson. He's written several books on prayer. That's kind of his thing. Transforming Prayer is one of his most popular books. But he says, what happens often is we actually seek the hand of God. The hand of God. What we don't do is we don't seek his face. And there's a big difference there, because when you seek God's hand, you're looking to have your needs met. That's where we take all our prayer requests to. We take it to the hand of God. And you imagine yourself kneeling in prayer, and we look up as far as his hand. That's basically all we see. That's the only picture we see of God, is his hand. And we like that, because that's where all the goodies are. And so we pray there, and we'll look for what we get out of God's hand. But you see, if you look up and you look at God's face, if you seek his face, and by the way, the Bible talks a lot about seeking his face. If you seek his face, that's inviting us into an intimate relationship with God. And that's what he's really looking for. He's not looking for people that just look for his hand. Yeah, he says he will answer that. But we have the wrong posture. We need to first seek his face. So we need to move away from thinking of prayer as this mechanism we use to ask things from God, and move to an understanding that this is a conversation. This is about a relationship that we're having with God. And when it comes to that, this model prayer that he gives, both in Matthew and in Luke, it has some very interesting characteristics. First of all, it is simple. It's funny because if you ask people to pray in church, most people say, nope. And you know why? I mean, people don't like speaking in public anyway. But one of the big reasons they don't want to pray is because they don't know all the right word, the language of prayer, the right lingo. It doesn't sound really good. And I'll tell you, really, rather than somebody who can pray really slick, I'd rather have someone pray that just, God, you know, is just simple. Like I said, 16 seconds. I think it also helps when we're doing that. You know, when I pray for our meal, I still do that. I still think it's important. But when I pray for a meal, you know what I pray? I it's very simple. I tell you, I do it every time. There's no surprise there. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for other stuff. But when I pray for my meal, I say, God, you are a fantastic provider. You provide everything I have. And thank you for this food right here. Amen. That's it. And you know what it does? I don't mind praying for my food. I'm not going, oh man, what's this? What are we going to run into now? It's pretty simple and it's pretty short. The other thing it does is I know what I prayed for. A lot of people, when they pray for before their meal, they pray a long prayer. If you say, what did you pray for? They'll tell you everything but the food on your plate. You forgot that already. You forgot the purpose that you even started praying for. The other thing it does is I can pick right back up and pray again, because one of the other things we see in the Bible is that we are to pray continually. When we turn prayer into a 15, 30, I'm not saying don't pray for long periods of time. That's good. But when that's the only thing you know of as prayer is this very long thing, you don't do it very often. And I'd rather get into a place where I can pray when I sit down to eat. I can pray when I get in my car to go someplace. I don't have to think I'm going to have a 30-minute thing. I mean, my trip might only be 5 minutes down the road. But I can pray for it pretty quick if that's all I'm praying for. It's simple. It's conversational. And it can be continual. And this is what is modeled for us. And then the final thing that I think it draws us to worship. That's what's modeled for us. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's about, now what we do, it's not wrong to recite it either. I'll say that. It's not wrong to recite it, but that's not what it was for. And sometimes we get to the place where we think, oh yeah, well that's what it's for, is just so we can recite it. No, it's not. It's a model. And one of the things we see is it's about worship. Every time we pray, we are to be worshiping. That's what it's about. And so that's the model. What I want to do is show you a way to pray, a way to break down the Lord's Prayer. And this has been done by a lot of people, and I'm not going to say that this is the only way to do it. I'm not going to say that this is the best way even. This is a way. Like I said, I think prayer is hard, and I try everything I can to become better at prayer. And this is by this man, Daniel Henderson. But it just breaks it down pretty simply. And so this is just one among many ways to break it down. And the first one The first part of the prayer is reverence. Reverence. So that's how it starts. Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, I guess this one didn't say that, did it? But our Father, holy is your name, or hallowed is your name. That's about reverence. It's about what God has done. And when you hear me pray, that's what you'll hear, and that's why. Because I'm always thinking, all right, take time and remember. You know what's interesting in the Bible? How many times you read about the people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, how many times they forgot what God did. It just is over and over. And it's like when you read it all in one, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of years between it, so it might have been a little bit different. But for us, when we read it in Scripture, it's like, why don't these people get it? It said God got them out of trouble, especially when you read like in Judges. You know, it's just like, before you know it, they're off in sin. Next thing you know, they need help, so they cry out to God. And for some reason, you go, why in the world would he help them after how they treat God? But he does. He sends a judge. They are saved, and everybody turns back to God. And guess what? They forget, and they go right back again. And this goes on all the time, and that's why I think it's very important that we are people who always remember what God has done. We take the time to think about what he's done, not only way back, but what he did this morning. What did he do for you this morning? What did he do for you yesterday? That we are people who always remember. Father, it starts out with. It's a very intimate word. This is about being with God. This isn't just about coming to ask, you know, somebody that you don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of people who call themselves followers of Jesus don't actually know him very well. But this is an intimate word. In fact, Father who art in heaven, we think of that as being, you know, so far away someplace. It's actually being, that meant very close. It's almost like air. It's right there. It's very close, this close relationship. As holy, special, unparalleled, set apart. And so that first part of the prayer is reverence, and that's why I said that it's a very worshipful thing. The second move then is response. Thy kingdom come. You know what we're saying there? We're saying that who we are, and again, reaffirming who God is. It's like, we're looking around here, God. We want your kingdom. Now, that's easy to say, but oftentimes we live as if we don't really believe that. We'd rather have our kingdom. And so this is very much setting the posture of who God is and who we have come to understand who we are. And so we have this thing, you know, it's interesting too that when we pray, it's often at the end of the rope. You ever notice that? It's when we get ourselves into real big trouble. That's when we pray. You know, when the relationship's good, all our relationships are fine. Yeah, we don't even bother. The relationship turns bad. That's when we turn to God. Things aren't going well with our schooling. You know, we'll go along. Everything's okay until it gets tough, and the grades aren't where they need to be. When I was in college, I got two letters from the dean. One was not a good letter. And I said, unless you straighten up, you're not going to be going to school here anymore. That got my attention. The next letter said, congratulations, you made my good list. So, but, you know, that's what we do. We wait until things get really bad, and that's when we pray. When we're at the very end of our rope, that's when we pray. And you know, the thing is, what do we really want? You know, what I want for Gaines Church is, I want things to happen at Gaines Church. I want the ministry of Gaines. I want Gaines to be far, far better than I have the ability to make happen. I want it to be better, far better than what all of us together have the ability to make happen. I don't want us to be a church that just does as good as we can do. And then after we get ourselves in trouble, then cry out to God. I want us to be a church that starts with prayer from the very beginning and says, you know, we're going to do our best. We're going to use whatever you've given us, but we're going to be a people who pray and trust in you to provide what you want us to accomplish. Let's pray from the beginning instead of waiting till the very end, till we find ourselves way in the weeds, till we wait until everything looks bad and then start praying. It makes no sense. Let's be people who pray from the beginning. Well, then the next thing, then these are all ours. You noticing that? So we had reverence, and now we had response, and now requests. Now this is where the needs come. This is the list. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for needs. We're told to pray for needs. It's a good thing to do. But it's important that we do so in the right posture. And reverence, and after reverence, then response. Who God is and who we are. Once we get that puts us in the posture to now ask for needs and make those requests. And so many times we don't do that. We just jump right to the requests. And no wonder they don't get answered, because we're not in the right posture. And you know, God's saying, who are you talking to? It's not really clear. And so after we've done the reverence, the response, then we have the requests. Now we've been seeking His face. Now we move to seeking His hand. After requests, and this is something we rarely do, but that's readiness. In readiness, we see it at the very end, He goes, and deliver us from the evil one. And you say, yeah, we don't want Satan to get us, so let's throw that in there. But I think it's more than that. It's about looking forward. And if you think about it, you have a pretty good... I mean, in general, we want people to protect us from the evil one. That's true. We do want... And who knows what that might look like. There is a sense of we don't know. But there's also a lot that you do know. And I want you right now to think about what you have coming up this week. What do you have to do that there's a potential there for the evil one to get it? Just start right away. You know, some point this week I'm going to have to meet with the elders, and they're around this room. You know, so I gotta begin praying right now. Deliver me from the evil ones. Well, that didn't come out right. But I'm not really praying that. But that, let's just go to the fruit of the Spirit. That we have love, joy. Those might not be that big of a deal. Peace. I don't know, maybe we get into something that we need peace. Patience. Ooh, yeah, that could be. They might need a lot of patience. Kindness. I got to start over because I can't, unless I get them on a run. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, yes, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And see, those are all areas where the evil one could be saying, all right, Tom's got a meeting. I can use this opportunity to attack. And I like this readiness. Because let's head it off right now. Let's not wait until we are in that situation where, you know, it becomes desperation. So what do you have coming up? It might not be a bad thing. It might be maybe you're going to talk to somebody and maybe this week you're going to be able to share Jesus with somebody that's really close to your heart. And you've been looking for, you knew you were going to meet this person this week. And maybe Satan's going, nuh-uh, we're not going to let that happen. And so we're going to try and head that off right now. Start praying now that we're ready, that we're prepared. So that's the four R's: reverence, response, requests, and readiness. And I sincerely, that's how I pray. I just keep that model in my head. And like I said, there's nothing magic about that model other than they did their best effort to pull that out of the Lord's Prayer. What's he doing here? What's he trying to accomplish? Or what's he teaching us? What is he modeling? And so that's what I do. I try and do that. And you can use other ones all together. Like I said, I think prayer is hard. And man, if you want one thing to get you discouraged as a Christian, oftentimes prayer is what will get you discouraged because you have good intentions. And you know, you might, you know, say, hey, I'm going to get up every morning. I'm not a morning person, but you know, I might say I'm going to get up every morning and it works good for 3 days. And then I, you know, sleep in on the fourth day and, you know, it's not good. Or I might, like I said, I try the prayer diary and man, I'm just terrible with those. And here's another one. Go to the next slide. This is there's nothing holy about this, but this is just another tool that you might want to try. It's called PrayerMate. And if you have Android or iOS, you can download it. And I use that. And it's kind of funny because it says, swipe left to pray. And I sit there and I just swipe and it just brings up the prayer requests that I've entered into that. And a few, like our denomination's mission has a feed on there. And so theirs pops up every now and, you know, every time with a different prayer request. And it just helps me do it. It just helps me pick it up and actually pray. Whether you use this or not, there's nothing magical. But this is what I want this church to be. I want this church, I want Gaines Church to be a church that understands that prayer has to be foundational to everything we do. It's important to everything we do. We're not going to wait until we're in the weeds, and then, and only then, bring out prayer. I mean, we'll pray then too, but we want to be people who pray from the start. Understand that this is what moves things. This is what makes things go. It's interesting. It says, thy kingdom come, and it's almost as if Jesus is trying to get the point across that this happens by prayer. That's how thy kingdom come, by prayer. And so that we are a people, a church of prayer, filled with people of prayer. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the way you bless us so tremendously in so many different ways. Father, you make it possible for us to even be here. And we just thank you even for the blessing that it is to be able to come here. And we know that we have brothers and sisters around the world that don't have that ability that we do. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we realize that anything we might try is futile. So, Father, help us to be a people who learn how to pray, who are dedicated to praying, are committed to it, even when it's hard, We keep trying. And most of all, Father, keep Satan away. He probably loves the idea of keeping us from prayer. So, Father, keep him at bay so that we might be people of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.